Reformed Church.
We had talked about, it's been 2 weeks ago now, but we talked about diversity, right? And I was showing you how I did make an application to politics, but I was really just showing you the sort of the, just godliness and the way that God is no respecter of persons, right? Actually, let me just read that verse to you if I still have that here. It's Acts 10:34, and it just says that Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him." And so what that basically means is that when he says God is no respecter of persons, in this particular passage, he's saying that God does not give you a certain amount of respect or favoritism based off of, for instance, what nation you're from. He was dealing, especially in this particular time, with Jews and Gentiles, and Jews believing that they sort of had a right to the inheritance while Gentiles didn't. But the thing that I was pointing out last week is that this concept of diversity that you see in sort of the political sphere today is exactly the opposite of that. It is a respecter of persons, right? Where basically what we'll do is in government even, toward the end of COVID, there was actually, I don't know if it was an executive order or what it was, but it was COVID aid that went to specifically black farmers, right? If you were black, then you got this particular aid. And so what that is, that's respecter of persons, right? It's respecting someone based on their ethnicity, not just merely based on, for instance, their qualification, like in a job also. Diversity in a work environment sort of looks where people actually, this is a real thing today, where there are actual quotas for if you're black or brown, right? If you're of a racial minority or if you're a woman, that they actually have quotas that they don't hire just based on who's most qualified for the job, but because of past discrimination or whatever their reasoning is, they will hire someone, like if a black person comes in and a white or an Asian person came in, or a brown person comes in and an Asian person comes in. In certain workplaces, they're actually today in America, there's preference given to the brown person or black person over, say, an Asian person. There's a lot of reasoning behind that. So I'm not saying they don't have a reason for it in their mind, but that is being a respecter of persons. That's looking at someone and saying, you know what, I'm going to respect you and favor you for a reason that has nothing to do with the job itself. It's not to do with the job description. I'm not just looking for, in other words, for the job that needs to be done, I'm not just looking for someone that meets the qualification and the requirement for the job, but I'm going to respect you based on ethnicity. And obviously we know that in this country, we've been through this, you know, for a very long time in this country, and I say this country, but really in every country across the world, people have dealt with this because it's a human problem. Racism or hatred of any kind, right? Even if it's not for race, is a human issue, right? So America is not unique in any such way. But for instance, in this country, you know, we've been through this a long time ago, and even a little bit more recently, the concept of not hiring certain people because of their skin color, that's not something we want to get into again, right? Even if it's in the reverse, right? Where now it was sort of not hiring people that were maybe black or brown before, and now we're hiring people because they're black or brown, because we have diversity quotas and things like that. That's a really dangerous thing to get into. And you saw here that that's not the way that God hires people, sort of for the job that he wants to hire us for, to be sort of rulers with him and to have the inheritance. He's no respecter of persons. In every nation, if you do what's acceptable before God, which obviously is faith in his son, he accepts you. Now, diversity, though, a little bit more broadly, there's a thing called equity, all right? And so I just want to address that, and I'm not going to do it justice here, but I just kind of want to give you at least a little taste of it. There's a word named called equity, and there's another word, equality. And this has sort of just been a more recent thing that people that has sort of come about politically, where now equity and equality genuinely don't mean the same thing at all. And a lot of times when you hear the word equity, you sort of think that it's referring to equality. You know, when someone says, "Oh, it's about fairness and equity," you would think, "Oh, it's the same thing as saying equality," but sort of they've sort of diverged at some point in the recent past. And generally, now even there are some people that will even use the word equality, and they're still talking about equity. But let me just give you sort of the definitions politically today of those two different things. Equality, at least the way that people that advocate for equality would describe it, equality would be like equal opportunity for everybody, but not necessarily an equal outcome. So for instance, if you have a race, right, just to sort of give you an analogy, if you have a race, equality would be everybody starts at the same starting line, right? Everyone is given the same opportunity to finish the race. Everybody plays by the same rules. There's no favoritism or disadvantage given to anybody. And because there's no favoritism, everyone starts at the same starting line. And when the, you know, gunfire goes off, you go, right? There's no advantage given there to any particular person. While equity, on the other hand, is a word that's not equal opportunity to everybody, but something that seeks for equal outcome, that everybody turns out the same. So, for instance, of equity, if you were to put an analogy on that, would be if you had a race, but there were certain people in that race that the people that were running the race, and by that I mean the people that were overseeing the race, certain people that were deemed less fortunate than other people, that have gone through some kind of hardship outside of the competition, and because of the hardships that they've had outside of this competition, they start people at different points. So somebody gets a 10-meter advantage. Some people are put back 10 meters, whatever it is. So in other words, giving advantage or disadvantage to people based on hardships that they may have experienced in their life so that there's a more equal outcome. So for instance, if someone is slower, that they are given a head start. If someone is faster, they are pushed back. So not everybody starts at the same point and it's just equal opportunity. It actually is not equal opportunity. There is advantages and favoritism given to certain people based on hardships they've experienced in order to achieve everybody sort of crossing the finish line at the same time. That's equity. Equity is equal outcome, while equality is equal opportunity, but not necessarily equal outcome, right? Equality, again, the way that people would describe it, is sort of, it's indiscriminate. It's just, it's not concerned with the way that things turn out. It's just concerned that everybody's playing by the same rules, right? That's what equality would be. But let me show you this here in, in 1 Corinthians 9:24. So, which of those two things are correct? Let me just show you from this verse the way that God does things, okay? 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Know you not that they which run in a race run all," in other words, they all run, "but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain." What that means is that God does not give favoritism to people so that everybody can turn out the same. When God gives a standard, even under the law of works, it was the same standard for everybody. Nobody was given favoritism or disadvantage in any such way, even if you had gone through hardships or whatever it is. If God has a standard, it's a standard for everybody, and that's the only fair way to do things. And even with the race analogy, funny enough, he uses, this is sort of unintentional actually, I actually had inserted that race analogy before I even got this verse, but God is talking about sort of a race here, and he even says that in God's way of doing things, it says that you know that everybody runs, one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. Now, the race that he's talking about here is actually faith. That's the standard that God has set. That's the thing that God wants everybody to complete. That's the race God wants everybody to complete, is coming to a full assurance of faith in his Son. And it says here that you realize that everybody runs, but not everybody gets the prize. And is that equal outcome, where everybody runs, but not everybody gets the prize? That's not equal outcome, right? That's just equal opportunity. And so you can see very clearly from the way, I mean, that couldn't be more clear. The way that God describes this, when he says, all run, but one receives the prize, that is not equal outcome. So when you hear people talk about equity, God is not on the side of equity. God is not on the side of giving advantages or disadvantages to people based on past hardships or something, just so everybody turns out the same. There's a lot of prettier analogies that people give. They probably wouldn't give that race analogy that I gave, but that's actually what it is. God is on the side of equal opportunity. And you know what that means? When there's equal opportunity, there are some people that are going to cross the finish line and some that won't. And you know what? We can help if you want to run sort of with the race analogy. You can also create equal opportunity for people to be trained for that race. You can empower people to be, you know, the best that they can be in that race. But when it comes to the race itself, we don't give favoritism, though, right? It's an awesome thing to give people opportunity to again, better themselves in different ways, and I'll get to some examples in a second, so that they can run that race better. And God does give equal opportunity to everybody. God will shepherd you. For instance, even in the race analogy that he's talking about here, when God says, okay, the race is faith, and he says, I want you to complete this race, God gives equal opportunity to everybody he will shepherd you, he will speak to you, he will train you. But when it comes to the race, if you don't finish the race, then you don't get the prize. What that means is if you don't come to a full assurance of faith in Jesus, then you don't get the reward that comes from putting faith in Jesus, right? You don't get the inheritance. That's what that's talking about. So God is not an equal outcome person. God is an equal opportunity person. He says very clearly here that there's not all equal outcome. Not everybody is saved. Not everybody gets the prize, so to speak, the inheritance from Jesus. But if you complete the course that he set for you, which is faith, then you get the prize. And God is not going to look at you and say, because, you know, you've been disadvantaged in some way or because of the color of your skin, then I'm going to give you an advantage here and make some kind of exception for you. Not that he actually could anyway, for various reasons. But God is not going to make an exception for you or give you an advantage over somebody else because of, oh, but you went through this and therefore I need to, you know, make an exception for you where you don't have to believe as much as the next guy or you don't have to complete the race like the next guy or I'm going to give you a head start. That it's not an equal outcome that he's looking for. He's just looking for giving everybody an equal opportunity. Again, he will train you so that you can run that race. But as far as the race is concerned, you need to finish the race. And if you don't finish the race, you don't get the prize, right? Another verse for this is actually Romans 2:6, where it says that God renders to every man according to his deeds. Romans 2:6. The deeds there is talking about faith again. I know I'm trying to fit a lot into a small length of time here, so I'm not able to explain this stuff, but every man according to his deeds. You know what that means? Again, there's an equal opportunity. God has a standard and says, I want you to put faith in my son. But at the end of the day, it's going to be according to your deeds. It's not going to be preferential treatment. It's going to be, if you put faith in my son, you get it. And if you don't put faith in my son, you don't. And again, what the reason for that is just it's fairness, right? To hold people to different standards just because we deem that someone's been through a hard time or something is not fair. And so let me just give you a few examples of this, just so that you can be sort of more discerning when you hear, it could be politicians speaking, when you see things going on in your workplace today, because just so you know, in the last days, things like this are going to become more and more common, and there's a reason for this. I'm not going to be able to share with you that the reason why I'm talking about this topic just right now, but there are reasons why I'm going over this. One of the ways that you see equity at work with in politics and in government even today is what's called redistribution of wealth. And that means sort of disproportionately taxing the rich to give to the poor, right? There's a lot of reasons. We have a politics series online. I'd encourage you to listen to that. I actually go into this a lot more. Redistribution of wealth is basically taxing the rich disproportionately to give it to people that make less so that everybody sort of has a more equal outcome. There are politicians I've even heard that have sort of expressed the sentiment that, well, at some point you've pretty much made enough money, and because you've made enough money, even though you've made it, if you make your money honestly, obviously is what I'm talking about, even if a person has made their money honestly, but they continue to get more rich and more rich, the government, for instance, today sometimes thinks that, well, I'm going to tax you disproportionately because you keep getting wealthier and wealthier, and there are people that need that money too. So I'm going to tax you disproportionately to sort of cut that piece off the top and give it to someone else that needs it. Now, again, the problem with that, there's a host of problems with that. Not the least of which being the fact that if someone makes money honestly, it is their money. Now, they can give that money generously, voluntarily, but it's not anyone's right to take their property because obviously that would be theft. And, you know, there's also talk today about, like, the rich paying their fair share. And that would be okay except for the fact that the rich paying their fair share, usually the people that use that terminology are not talking about taxing everybody the same percentage, because that would seem to be fair, right? Like, everybody gets taxed the same percentage, which is not the case in this country. The rich are already actually pay the vast majority of the taxes in this country, if you didn't know that, the rich pay the vast majority. It's like something like at the top X amount of percent of people pay 50% of the taxes of the entire country. Very small percentage of people pay 50% of the tax. I don't have the stat on me right now. But so with all that said, though, that's sort of one example of like equity in this country, where we say, okay, equity means there's too much of a discrepancy between people that are lower or middle class versus you, so I'm going to take your property, give it to them to sort of make everybody come out equally. Again, another, just a couple more examples, and I'm just going to have to close up with this, but people sort of demanding equal pay for the same occupation, right? Now, that first you would say, well, that makes sense, equal pay for the same occupation. But the thing is, there are people that perform better in a particular occupation than others do. An example of this is that there was recently, I heard somewhat recently, there was the U.S. women's soccer team was demanding sort of equal pay as the men's soccer team. But the thing with that is that you say, well, it's the same occupation. They both play soccer. Shouldn't they get paid the same? Well, no. The reason why is because the men's soccer team actually perform a lot better and bring in a lot more revenue. So in that case, it's again, it's every man according to his works, right? If this one does better, they get more. You don't deserve equal pay with somebody else. In other words, you don't deserve an equal outcome with someone else when they've done more. But same with the race analogy, right? If someone lags behind in a race, they don't deserve to cross the finish line the same as somebody else. They don't deserve an equal outcome if someone ran faster than them, right? That's just the case. And you could say in the race analogy, the men's soccer team runs faster. They bring in more revenue, and therefore they should be paid more because they bring in more revenue. And the women's soccer team, it may be the same occupation, but you kind of get where I'm coming from. It shouldn't be an equal outcome because, again, they have equal opportunity to make money. No one is holding, for instance, the women's soccer team back from figuring out ways to bring in more revenue. But if you don't, you don't deserve an equal outcome with somebody else if they actually, by their own works, by their own merit, brought in more revenue, right? So the equal outcome thing is not a thing that God is looking for. God is just looking to make sure everyone has an equal opportunity to make money or to function in the economy. As long as there's equal opportunity, and just so you know, I'm sure there are things in our laws today. I'm sure there are things in workplaces that, you know, where the rules are bent in other in people's favor. And so then we need to fix the rules to make sure that everybody does have an equal opportunity for real. But as long as everyone has an equal opportunity to accomplish the same things, we don't need to worry about the outcome. If everybody is playing by the same rules and some finish and some don't, some do better than others, that is up to that person. That actually creates a really healthy competition in society and actually incentivizes people to do better for society and to do better for, you know, the nation when you have that competition. But anyway, there's so much I can go into with this. But there's even a push for like equal pay amongst higher and lower positions. That when you have someone that owns a company, people will look at that and say, well, look, they're sitting on their, you know, high horse and they're so rich, and then you got people that are working entry-level jobs, for instance, they're making minimum wage, and they think that there should be a more equal outcome of pay for owners of companies in lower-level positions. But again, it's something that's wrong because it should be each man according to his works. Everybody has an opportunity, as long as it's true that every person has an opportunity to start a company and to make it successful. You know what, if you start a company and you made it successful and you built it from the ground up and you're the owner of that company, you deserve to get paid more than someone that comes in and has none of the responsibility or risk of that company, and they come in and they're working. You shouldn't get paid the same. There should not be an equal outcome there because somebody did more work and carries much more responsibility and risk for that company than somebody else. There should not be equal outcome because every man according to his works, right? It's not everybody should get the same prize in a race. That's not the way that at least fairness should work. One last example is sort of, this ties directly into the diversity thing that I was talking to you about last time. With diversity, diversity is sort of a kind of equity. And again, don't get it in your head, because when you hear things like diversity and inclusion and equity, they all sound like very good terms, but they're really not, they're not godly ways of doing things. Diversity is just the last kind of equity that I'll sort of point out to you. And that is, again, hiring someone based on their gender or their race, just because they deem that you've been oppressed in the past or something like that, and again, they have their reasons. But hiring someone based on gender or race, not just strictly on qualification for the job. That's another kind of equity, because they see, for instance, another one of the things that I mentioned last time was even colleges do this thing today called affirmative action. And that means that, you know, they see that too many Asian people are academically successful. So rather than just simply take the most academically successful people who have the highest SAT scores into their college for the sake of what's called diversity, they will exclude people who have higher SAT scores who are Asian, just because they don't want too many Asian people. And they will say, for the sake of diversity, we want a more equal outcome amongst Asians and blacks and whites. And in order to do that, they have lower standards for white people, lower standards even further for Hispanic people, and lower standards even further for black people. This is a thing. I'm not making this up. This is an actual thing that goes on called affirmative action in this country, and probably other countries as well. But that is a desire for equal outcome among races. But do I want an equal outcome? If I apply for a college, do I want equal outcome amongst races? No. I want those that run the best to make it. That's the way that it should work. And if it means that half of your college is Asian people, then so be it. That's okay. If all your college was black people, that's okay. Just let the best man win. That's the way that healthy competition, and really what it is fairness needs to work. Because for every person, when we call it inclusion, for every person that you include who wasn't the most qualified for the job is another person that you excluded that worked hard and was qualified. It's not fair. It's not a fair way of doing things. And I understand it sounds fair. Everybody crosses the finish line at the same time, but it's not fair when you accomplish that. Because if that were just so happened and everyone started at the same line, fine. But it's not fair when you give people head starts or favoritism, like, for instance, black people, brown people, and white people to some extent also with like affirmative action. You're giving them a head start in the race. You're saying, oh, you can have a lower SAT score and we'll accept you, but we have a higher standard for Asian people, for instance. That is not a right way of doing things. Again, it's let the best man win. It's every man according to his works. And guess what? You can help people outside that competition to train and help them in their education to meet up to the standard. But when you have a standard, it needs to be applied equally to everybody, an equal opportunity for everybody. And again, if you happen to have half Asian people, half your college is all Asian people, then again, it's so be it, right? So that's just another example there. And one more example I just had with the whole diversity thing is also even in our military, if you didn't know, our military has lower standards for women to become for the same position as a man would want in the military. That's, again, it's wrong. It's wrong to do that, especially for the military, where you want the best of the best in the military to lower standards. You know what? This should be one standard. If you're a woman and you can make it to that standard, fine. And guess what? If it turns out that it's 99% men, because physically speaking, men are stronger for certain positions in the military, so be it. That's the way it needs to be. And you know, we'd actually have a stronger military as a result of that. We'd have stronger workplaces as a result if we just hired the most qualified people for the job. I don't think anybody here wants to, you know, go to the doctor and just know that they were hired because of their skin color. I think you'd prefer them to be like, oh, you know what? You actually were hired because you're the most qualified person for the job. And the same thing with our military. And you see the society works a lot better when it's let the best man win. Everyone is rewarded with wages. Everyone is rewarded with job opportunity. Everyone is awarded with, you know, being accepted to colleges. Everyone is awarded in accordance with their works in society and what they contribute to society. It should not be equal outcome. It should be outcome in accordance with what you can do for the nation. And again, that's just sort of applying it politically, but this goes with anything. That's how God deems fairness is not equal outcome, but equal opportunity for everybody. And that doesn't mean everybody's going to get the prize, but it does mean that we can help people, you know, achieve that. But it needs to be the same rules across the board. There's a reason, though, why I bring up equity, because there's certain things in the last days that will be even pushed upon believers. It's important to know how God does things so that you can detect it. When you say, oh, you know what? You know, now I know when I hear that word. You know, that's not the way God does things.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.